Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's on the same street. Your typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means, but just won't let you be.
Think of true love.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, June the 10th, 2011. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I'm joined here today by my co-hosts, Alyssa Ray and Tara Gardner, who is here once again as a guest co-host. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
So we have a special show for you today because it's all about Raw. Well, not totally all about Raw, but I decided to call the show that because it has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
Nice.
Our feature interview this week is with Janice Scorreco, who is the founder of the Raw Foundation Culinary Arts and Nutrition Institute, which is Canada's leading raw and living food culinary school located here in Vancouver. What does raw food have to do with animals, you might ask? Well, we'll get more into this into the interview, but as you know, we cover issues of the vegan lifestyle here on the show, which is the most compassionate way that one can live for the animals. And usually when you think of eating vegan, you're thinking of typical cooked vegan foods because that's what most of our society does with our food. We cook it. But going one step further for our health and even in compassion, you can say, is the raw vegan lifestyle, which may be a foreign term to most people, but is becoming more and more known, I think, as more people, say, are adopting a vegan lifestyle, and then sometimes even moving on from there to raw vegan. So Janice will be speaking with me about raw vegan nutrition and everything you need to know about living the raw vegan lifestyle, packed into a concise 24 minutes. And I think you'll really like this talk with her, which I had earlier this week. She'll be speaking about how to prepare delicious and uncooked plant-based foods with ease and why one should do so. As an interlude to All About Raw, Alyssa will be presenting a segment that we like to call Fur Tales, Feather Earrings, What's So Hip About Cruelty? The segment will present some food for thought about the recent trend of so-called fashionistas donning the likes of feather earrings and feather hair extensions and those silly-looking and cruel fur tails, which I've never really understood the meaning of. I guess it's all in the name and fashion, and I'm looking forward to Alyssa's thoughts on this fad. Now, before we move on, I wanted to give an update on a story we covered last November. Do you remember when we interviewed Whitney Hillman? She was the courageous 16-year-old from Kansas who had gone against the school rules and rescued her chick, Chicklet, from being slaughtered as part of her animal science and food production class. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. She's an internet sensation.
Yeah.
Really, her Facebook
page is hugely... Oh, there I am. As I was saying, internet sensation, very popular Facebook page. And she got a lot of media for that. It's
definitely
awesome. Inspired so many people.
Including on our show.
Yeah.
So, as you know, broiler chickens, that is chickens raised for meat, typically only have a lifespan of 45 days, and then they're slaughtered for consumption at that age. And they are genetically modified with growth hormones to become as obscenely large as possible to maximize flesh development. Well, Chicklet was sure one lucky chicken because he was saved by his loving guardian, Whitney Hillman, from the terrible fate of slaughter, and he lived a happy life, but unfortunately recently passed away due to the strains on his system of being too large for his body frame, as will happen to all broiler chickens who don't get slaughtered. I've been keeping up with Whitney and Chicklet via Chicklet's Facebook page, which you mentioned has a lot of, he has a lot of friends, over 3,500 friends. And in memory of Chicklet, I wanted to read this brief poem that Whitney posted on there that she wrote for Chicklet. So here's the poem. You touched my heart the moment I held you in my palm. I couldn't believe you trusted me and remained so calm. I watched you grow up and I cared for all your needs. I smiled as you allowed me to hand feed you those seeds. I will carry you with me and continue to seek change. I know you are happy roaming in heaven's open range. So Whitney, if you're listening, as I've said before, you are a courageous and beautiful soul who did what you knew inside was right and spoke up for the animals in spite of the opposition. You gave Chicklet a good life and raised mass awareness about the plight of broiler chickens and other food animals, and for that, we thank you. So, changing gears here, we'll move on to All About Raw. As a longtime vegetarian and a cooked vegan for quite some years now, I've been recently looking with intrigue at the raw vegan diet, and even though when I was first introduced to it years ago, it seemed very restrictive and unattainable to me. But I've been leaning more and more towards it recently in just wanting to learn more and wishing that I could go completely raw, because I do believe it's the healthiest diet lifestyle out there, done right, of course. And lately, especially, I just feel like my body has been craving fresh and raw plant foods, which it hadn't been getting enough of. So I had the opportunity last week to attend a workshop class presented by Janice Gareko of the Raw Food Foundation Culinary Arts and Nutrition Institute called Intro to Raw, 5 Ingredients and 5 Minutes. That is an introductory course to the raw diet and lifestyle, which offered to show me everything I needed to know on how to get going with the raw diet, which was exactly what I was looking for. This 5-hour class demonstrated the information and practicalities of preparing a total of 9 different raw dishes, each using only 5 to 7 ingredients with a preparation time of only 5 to 7 minutes. But the demos themselves took a lot longer in total, just because the teacher spent a diligent amount of time explaining so many things about the foods and answering all of our questions, of which I personally had many. I've been a lifelong student, and I have to say that one thing I've learned in my 30 years of studies is that it's really the teacher that makes the class. So if you've got a good teacher, you're going to have a good class. And if you have a great teacher, as was the case in this workshop, you're going to have a fantastically great class. Living the raw lifestyle herself, I found Janice to definitely imbue the classroom with the energy, passion, and vibrancy that her diet claims to incite. And this was without a doubt proven for anyone who may have previously been a disbeliever. Janice was a joy to listen to and to watch for our small class of 10. But not only that, as a nutritionist and a soon-to-be naturopathic doctor, I found the information she gave on food and nutrition to be that of an expert level. For any question we had, she had a thorough and complete answer. So not only was she able to joyfully demonstrate how to make these 9 dishes, but she had all the scientific information to go with it and gave clear and honest responses. And speaking of honest responses, I have to say that in all honesty, not only were all the dishes presented totally delicious, but they were surprisingly all quite easy to make as well. In fact, Janice allowed us students to get our own hands-on practice with the making of some of these dishes, as she called for volunteers to do the actual work of assembling the ingredients and foods together. I myself got to completely make a cinnamon tort from start to finish, and when we were doing the spaghetti with garden marinara, I volunteered to make the spaghetti noodles, which with the vegetable spiralizer, also known as the spirulli, as I had always wanted to try that out, making noodles from zucchini. From both observing and getting the hands-on experience, it was confirmed for me that this is something I could actually do in my life, and hey, maybe going raw is not actually an unattainable goal to achieve. If you think of it, it can actually be quite simpler to even make all these fancy raw dishes like desserts and pastas, just because there actually isn't that extra step of any cooking involved. Janice asked each of us in the class to name what our favorite food of the day had been, and that was sure a tough decision for me to make. Was it the One Bite Brownies, which actually tasted just like regular baked brownies, except that they're healthy for you, or was it the broccoli soup? I know you're probably thinking that's a no-brainer, right? Broccoli or brownies versus broccoli soup. The broccoli soup, however, was actually really amazing and so smooth and delicious and tasty. In addition to needing to make both of these foods ASAP, I've actually already started to incorporate the energy elixir into my day, which she also demonstrated. This is a very nutritious and delicious green smoothie concoction, including lots of spinach and spirulina, giving it a deep, beautiful green hue that reminds you that you're getting your needed greens and nutrients. And that's what I was drinking today before the show, if you were curious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to wake me up, since I didn't get any sleep last night. And I'm awake now, so it worked.
Nice.
Intro to Raw was a very professionally presented and enjoyable class to take. And take note that the Institute does offer a variety of other classes covering different foods. For example, I've already registered for my next three classes, which are called the Nice and Chill Series, an Alchemy of Ice Cream and Frozen Desserts. And I have to say that raw desserts are some of the best I've ever had, so I'm really looking forward to this. Another course of interest that the school offers is called Eating for Higher Consciousness, and this class teaches how the food we choose affects our connection with both ourselves and each other. To find out more and to register for upcoming classes, you can visit rawfoodfoundation.org. And Tara, I know you've been looking at my little booklet there, recipes that I've had. Any comments on the course I took?
Yeah, they all look really, really good. I know that I love making the spaghetti that you were talking about with the linguine. It's so good.
The spiruli? Do you have one of those?
Yeah. It's awesome. Really good. It's fun. And I find that's like the easiest recipe to make. Like,
yeah, you're right. It's
really
totally
easy. Like, you can just julienne as well the linguine, and then you just put it all in a blender, the sauce, and it's so quick to just throw together, I find. So
yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to the next classes that I'm going to be taking there. So we'll be learning all about raw later on.
Nice. I'm excited to hear more.
In the show. Okay.
If you're tired of your computer crashing from viruses and you'd like to learn how computers work while preventing e-waste at the same time, then Free Geek is the place for you. Free Geek is a community technology center based in East Vancouver. We're a nonprofit organization who ethically recycles computers, gives free workshops, and refurbishes hardware to give back to the community. If you'd like to volunteer and have a chance at earning a free computer from Free Geek, then go to freegeekvancouver.org to learn more or call 604-879-4335. Free Geek, helping the needy get nerdy.
Accordion Noir, your favorite Squeezebox show, celebrates its move to Wednesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m. The boys with the bellows, according to our co-hosts Rowan and Bruce, squeeze the sounds from every continent into the weirdest accordion show on Earth. And that's saying something. Accordion Noir, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM Vancouver. Or you can hear us anytime at accordionnoir.org.
You are listening to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I just wanted to talk about some of our upcoming events today, which is happening right now, in fact, as we speak. Giant condoms are descending on Vancouver with a life-saving message to get your cats and dogs fixed.
Nice.
What else, right?
Yeah.
This is a demo being put on by the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, happening so close to the station here, too bad we couldn't go, at the intersection of West Hastings and Canby Street, holding signs that read, "Dogs can't use condoms, spay and neuter," and "Condoms won't work, fix your cat." two PETA members dressed as giant condoms, that is sure to get people's attention, one yellow and one green, are handing out leaflets on animal birth control at this busy Vancouver intersection. Their point? That the only way to get a handle on the cat and dog overpopulation crisis is to always have your animals spayed or neutered. 6 to 8 million unwanted cats and dogs enter animal shelters every year in the U.S., and roughly half of them are euthanized because there simply aren't enough good homes for them. Problem is the same here in Canada, I should mention. Millions more never make it to an animal shelter and are left to fend for themselves on the streets, where they are often subjected to cruelty, suffer from starvation, disease, or injuries, or are struck by cars. The solution is simple. So always spay or neuter your animal companions. Spaying one female dog can prevent 67,000 births in 6 years, and spaying one female cat, get this, can prevent 420,000 births in 7 years. And that's happening at Canby and Hastings right now. And Saturday, June 11th, that's tomorrow, from noon to 4 p.m., there will be a vegan bake sale, another vegan bake sale. Our town's been having a lot of them lately, and that is awesome. It's held by Stop UBC Animal Research. This is going to be at Riot Clothing at 1395 Commercial Drive in Vancouver. This will be an event to raise awareness about animal research and to generate funds for Stop UBC Animal Research's work. You can attend to purchase goodies, and if you'd like to contribute to the baked goods yourself, you can also bring a sellable baked good, something that can be easily carried away in a bag or a napkin, and you are asked to please make a price tag for your item as well. If you would like to bake for the bake sale, make sure that your baked good is vegan, of course, and please add your information to the Google spreadsheet that can be found on the Facebook page for this event. That's the Vegan Bake Sale by Stop UBC Animal Research. If you have any questions, you can email our Tara here at tara@stopubcanimalresearch.org. And Tara, is there anything that you wanted to say about your bake sale tomorrow in addition to what I've already said?
I'm really excited. I know there's going to be lots of really good stuff, so be sure to come down and check it out.
Awesome. Okay, and also I wanted to quickly mention, on Wednesday evenings until the end of the summer at 7:30 p.m., there will be the Focus on Food series continuing and presented by the Unitarian Church of Vancouver. We had Denise Swanson on the show about 3 weeks ago or so, 2 weeks ago maybe, promoting this film series that she's putting on, including a lot of animal rights related films that have to do with food. So the location is at 949 West 49th Avenue in Vancouver, and the film showing each week is going to follow the new Oak Street Farmers Market, which happens from 3 to 7 at this location as well in the parking lot. So you go to the farmers market, it ends at 7, and then you go to see the movie at 7:30, and I'm definitely going to try to make some this summer. The schedule for the rest of the month is June 15th, A Cow at My Table. That's by our local filmmaker Jennifer Abbott. June 22nd, Mad Cowboy, the documentary, and a non-animal related movie, but I will mention it. June 29th, Dirt, the movie. So that is happening there. On Sunday, June the 19th, from noon to 8 p.m., is Vancouver Veg Fest 2011, the very first Vancouver Veg Fest, at Main Street and 19th Avenue in Vancouver. Veg Fest Vancouver is a day-long outdoor festival, which will be happening on this day, June 19th, as part of the Main Street Car Free Festival. At the festival will be live music from local artists, vegan food vendors, tables for animal protection organizations, and much, much more. And best of all, it's entirely free to end. No, actually, best of all, Animal Voices Radio will be there.
Yay.
So if you want to take part and come meet us there and have your pictures taken with local celebrities, which I'm sure we'll be able to provide for you, come down to Vancouver Veg Fest. If you have an animal or vegetarian-related event coming up that you'd like to have announced on the show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, which is called Animal Voices Vancouver. On to you, Alyssa.
Well, now, I'm not a fashionista, and I don't stay up to date with the latest trends, but I do have a penchant for electronic music and festivals, and that's where I've sort of seen this new trend crop up and kind of explode over the last year. It's, I'm not quite sure exactly what to call it, but maybe you've seen the style around a fedora with feathers in it, and maybe fur earrings or not fur earrings, feather earrings or feather extensions. maybe leather cuffs, fur-lined moccasins, fur collars, fur hoods and boot linings, and even fur tails, real raccoon and fox tails.
I've seen those fur tails, and I've really never understood what they're all about. And Alyssa, you were telling me before the show that those are real tails? Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, some of them are dyed. They might look like they're faux fur. Probably more and more are actually faux fur, but I think a lot are real.
Yeah.
And they kind of dye them stripey sometimes. Yeah. And they'll put a keychain on them so you can attach them to your belt loop or your purse or something.
Yeah.
It's not a massive trend, but it's the sort of fur coat style is big, for sort of older women, and it's kind of antiquated look, and people kind of understand that that's, generally not accepted and pretty cruel. But there's, this new trend that's cropping up. It's kind of, I think, a reference to like native or tribal style. It's sort of vague. It's not really pointing at any one specific tradition. Mm-hmm. It's just I think a sort of back to nature glamour, or that's kind of related to tribal or steampunk or hippie chic or kind of bohemian. I've seen it in sort of underground circles a lot. I think now then celebrities kind of took it upon themselves. I'm not sure, how exactly fashion trends go.
But a lot in the States as well. I've noticed people wearing those a lot there. And if you go to peopleofwalmart.com, you'll see a lot of people wearing those there. Do you know that website of strange people in Walmart wearing weird, strange things?
I've never
heard of that. You got to check it out, peopleofwalmart.com.
Yeah.
A lot of tail wearers there.
Interesting.
Yeah, lots of funny looking people. There's lots of videos too. If you go to YouTube, you can check out the people of Walmart as well. They put together little music videos and they're really funny, really funny.
Well, I can't say necessarily why this trend is big, but I think I have a sense that, from the dawn of human history, we've used animal skins and fur for warmth, and also in rites and rituals to embody the spirit and character of an animal. I think that's kind of what it's sort of getting at. People love animals, and in their hearts, and maybe I think it's just kind of a misguided effort to be closer to nature.
Absolutely,
for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think, like, I really don't like this trend that's happening, and I just don't understand it. Like, I understand that it's part of our history, and maybe our ancestors used to have to do this kind of stuff, but it's not something that we need to do.
No, exactly.
Anymore.
We need to evolve.
Yeah,
beyond and be compassionate, and our hearts need to open wider and wider. And it's just not necessary. And
it's totally not necessary. I think it's just all about a fashion fad, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much more. I mean, sure, people might appreciate wearing parts of an animal in a way, maybe to honor them, but. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, people might, I would think that people are just being pretty thoughtless about it and going, hey, it's in to wear a tail.
Totally.
I'm going to wear a tail.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, there's no thought in it at all. It's just, it looks cool. I'm going to do that too. And they don't realize the cruelty behind it.
Yep, and that these animals are killed specifically for their fur, nothing else. They live short, cruel lives if they live on a fur farm, or if they die in a leg hole trap. They're suffering for days anyway.
Speaking of which, those rooster feathers, you were going to talk about that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's kind of actually a trend that I have to admit appeals to me. I think it looks really good. I think birds are amazing. Feathers are amazing.
Feathers are beautiful.
And I think a lot of the people that wear this sort of style, these feather earrings and feather extensions, are gorgeous, and people that I admire. But I am, growing up, evolving, and I learned to look behind the curtain as to what's really going on. I don't just follow silly trends because they look good. I don't just eat things because they smell good or taste good. I use my greater moral capacity to make decisions.
Your brain.
So,
exactly.
I just want to talk a bit about these feathers because they're really big. There's been a few articles this week about feather extensions. So, in the past we've seen, boas or maybe hair fascinators on the side of your head with kind of feathers sticking out. But there's a huge trend lately to wear feathers as extensions or festensions. A lot of celebrities are wearing them. Gwyneth Paltrow, Kesha, Drew Barrymore. I guess, you know, they're making them really popular, and tons of young girls are wanting these sort of long, stripy pieces, which can be dyed, brushed, curled, or straightened. They're grizzly feathers, actually, and they're the feathers that come from the saddle of roosters. The saddle is kind of the bum or the neck, and the highest quality come from genetically raised roosters who are crossbred for ideal feathers for the fly tying industry. Actually, these are meant for fishing lures, I guess. Currently, the supply isn't reaching the demand. Women are paying a huge premium to these fishing lure suppliers, up to $400 a bag, up from $40. You can even now get feather extensions for your dogs. Quirky.
Ridiculous.
Yes. The animals are slaughtered at around a year old, just for their necks and backs. Roosters, hens live normally 8 to 20 years, so this is just a fraction of their life. Their bodies are turned into compost or feed for other animals, so they're not eaten. This is a relatively small industry. The biggest farm, Whiting, kills about 125,000 birds a year, and there's only, you know, not so many across North America, maybe like less than 10, I'd say. As for the conditions that the birds live under, I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't quite find that, but I'm sure they just live in big warehouses. I can imagine they don't see sunlight.
Well, it seems like it's a pretty big industry.
Yeah.
Just like any other profit-making industry, they're not going to care about that.
No. It's all about the money, and then it always comes down to lots of suffering. There's other feathers for the craft industry come from factory farmed animals whose carcasses are plucked with machines. And of course, there's terrible conditions there. A lot of people think that maybe these feathers just fall off, or, you know, feathers do molt naturally once a year, but only like a couple at a time. They don't just lose their skin like a snake does or something.
Yeah.
And it takes them a year to kind of grow them back to full length and size. A lot of feathers for the craft industry come from China, and I think we know that there's not good welfare standards over there generally.
Yeah.
They're not going to be clipped usually, because clipping, because the feathers don't actually grow back. They have to be plucked right out from the bottom to grow back full, and it takes a year.
Wow.
So there's going to be pain involved. And when they're plucked, of course, it's like there's a deep follicle, and of course it hurts.
Yeah.
And it's like pulling out a chunk of hair, I would think, at one time. And these birds are left vulnerable if they're still alive. In some cases, they're kept alive, but then they're vulnerable to, like, sunburns.
Oh.
Is there such thing as cruelty-free feathers? Well, I don't know. You can, maybe people can try bird sanctuaries, like, if you really want feathers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still kind of deciding. I have one feather I got from a bird at a sanctuary, Kevin, at the rescue sanctuary, which is, I don't think, no longer there, Kevin the turkey. And I love my Kevin feather. And I have worn it, actually, as a fashion item before, because it means a lot to me. But then I wonder if I'm just promoting the use of, you know, of other feathers, of commercially produced.
That's a good point
to
make.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, I kind of wrestle with it, and in the end, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, there's alternatives.
Yeah.
I guess other people, you know, you can kind of try and collect your own and then wash or paint and trim them if people want. I don't know. But remember that birds use them for insulating their nests. Also, collecting them from protected or endangered birds can be illegal.
Oh.
It's assumed that you may have killed the bird for the feather. So, like, owls, parrots, eagles, it's not legal to collect their birds. I don't know about the laws in BC specifically, but in many places.
Mm.
You can Google cruelty-free feathers. There are a lot of sellers on Etsy who are, you know, saying that these are companion birds who live out their natural lives. There's only a few birds. They collect them when they fall. On their annual molt, I don't know. That's, I guess, up to the individual.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It is out there. There are alternatives.
Yeah.
Than the birds being killed necessarily. But,
well, I think
unless you have a direct relationship with the person, I don't know if I would trust anyone.
Exactly. And it's one of those things too, like if you do have naturally collected feathers that are cruelty free, you know, you don't really want to encourage other people to do it, because most people don't, you know, even take the time of day to think about where this stuff comes from.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm wearing a leather jacket, but it's not real leather. It's faux leather, you know, and it's one of those things like, do I want to look fashionable today or
exactly.
not?
And it's a bit of a gray area.
I really make everybody understand that it's, you know, it's faux
leather. I told anyone who ever complimented me on my feather, mm-hmm. I always said it's from Kevin.
I have a story to
He's
go
at
with
a
it.
Sanctuary.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful bird. I love him. And they'd be like, oh, like, you know, they didn't expect it at all. But like, I just wanted people to know that it was like a personal thing. And whereas everyone else who's kind of following the trend, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be judgmental, but.
Thank you so much for that, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Really, well done. And as
it's
I said,
it's been on my mind
thought.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I just have a couple news items here after I tell you that you're listening to Animal Voices Radio Show. That's on 102.7 FM CFRO, Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Last week, I reported that in Australia, there was an investigative report shown on national television there about the cruel treatment of cows that were being sent, cows and sheep that were being sent to Indonesia for slaughter there. They have a huge export industry, and over the last week, reports are that sales are down 15% to 20% of meat in Australia. This was due to video that was shot by Animals Australia and the RSPCA, and both lamb and beef sales have been affected. And this is just another example that, you know, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, then
whenever attention is raised to an issue about animals not, you know, being that desirable to eat, whatever it may be.
That they suffer and they're real beings.
People
and they
stop
feel
eating
things.
Animals.
Yeah.
I've also heard that Korea, they were burying all those millions of animals alive earlier this year. Their meat consumption has gone down as well.
Wow.
Just because that issue has been brought to their attention, and that's in Korea.
Yeah, wow. that's amazing. Kind of on a similar note, Facebook co-founder and billionaire Mark Zuckerberg has vowed to eat only meat that he's killed himself. This includes sea creatures and lambs and pigs and
anything with a face.
Sheep. Yeah. He says he believes in local food production and sustainability in his health, and that he's, quote, basically become a vegetarian because of this.
He probably doesn't have much time to go out and kill his own animals because he's on Facebook all
Too
the time,
busy
like
being
the rest
a billionaire.
Of See, when I first heard about this story, I thought, great, he's not killing any animals. It's not the case. He has already killed some animals. There was a list of them. I don't remember them right now, but you were saying before that you respect someone like that more than just a mindless meat eater who doesn't go out and kill their animals.
I do. I know there was a bit of, you know, backlash that he's a murderer. That's sick. Or
everyone's a murderer.
Exactly. If you eat meat, it's happening. If you do it directly, I personally have more respect for you.
You're just paying a middleman to do it for you.
If
you're not actually going out there and killing the whatever, the cow by yourself.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah,
very interesting.
That's the news.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And we've got our interview coming up right now.
Today's feature interview is with Janice Gareko, who is the founder of the Raw Foundation Culinary Arts and Nutrition Institute, which is Canada's leading raw and living food culinary school located in Vancouver, Coquitlam, and northern Sweden. Janice is a well-respected natural health educator, certified nutritionist, and raw food chef, as well as a member of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Empowered to share her knowledge from studying around the globe in search of answers enabling her to heal from five incurable illnesses, illnesses. She now teaches the skills which led her to improve her quality of life to individuals in both North America and Asia. She is devoted to educating on the benefits of a plant-based diet and inspiring and empowering both home and professional chefs to prepare delicious, raw, and living foods with ease. Hello, Janice, and welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having us. It's an honor and a pleasure to be part of your show.
Well, thank you. I am so delighted to have you on the show. From learning so much about you this past week and in taking your class last week, I can see the passion in what you do in living and educating on the raw lifestyle. But I know it wasn't always this way for you. As many people find their way to the raw vegan lifestyle, you did as well as a means of practicing better nutrition for yourself. Can you tell us about your journey from living with many health ailments to that of discovering the benefits of a raw vegan diet and how your life has been transformed in this journey?
Thank you. I would love to. So when I was born, I was arrived 2 months prematurely, and along with that came a list of all the reasons why I was now a defective human being. And I was unable to breathe on my own, and time came out. And my parents did the best they could and followed the Western medicine model, which had me on a lot of different medications and vaccinations. Some of the things that were going on were that I had severe asthma and allergies, cardiac arrhythmia. I had irritable bowel syndrome and pediatric osteoporosis. Definitely was a depressed child, unable to go outside. Yeah. So it was really, really tough growing up. I just wanted to be, you know, a normal kid.
And you would never know that from me having met you last week. That this is amazing. So tell us about how the raw lifestyle cured all of these incurable sicknesses of yours.
Yeah, that's great. So I started to look into different avenues and was traveling around the world and, you know, looking for answers and studied everything from sports nutrition to naturopathy to the Mediterranean diet to living in China and studying Chinese medicine. And it wasn't until the second time where I almost lost my life. I was living in China and I was really sick, 97 pounds, I had amoebic dysentery, my lung had collapsed, and it was just unbelievable. And at that point, I finally stopped looking to all the other sources and looked inside and asked myself, what is it that you want? You know, what do you want to eat? And my body wanted coconut water. It wanted to have some fresh food and just wanted rest. It's a revelation.
Wow.
So I followed the advice of my own body and decided that I was going to obviously be eating more 100% raw food. And within 10 days, I was feeling better. I went on my way to Thailand and then further detoxed and did what was called a watermelon and pineapple fast. And I had pineapple for 3 weeks. And it was nothing short of what some people would say a miracle. So the eczema all over my body disappeared. I was able to breathe and do the equivalent of the grouse grind, not fast, but the point was I had a collapsed lung just a few weeks ago and was bedridden,
amazing.
You know. So that was amazing. And my stomach didn't hurt when I was eating, which was great. My heart was even. There wasn't no arrhythmia that was happening. I was definitely happy. It was the first time in my life that I felt really alive. Mm-hmm. So this is what's happened.
I think most people are not born with all these sicknesses and don't go through their life with this, and I think they take it for granted that, you know, that I feel okay, and then but then they make themselves worse. You were born feeling worse, and so it must have been such an amazing turnaround just to be like, oh, this is what it's like to feel great, and that's just incredible. I do often hear about amazing success stories such as yours, where people have cured such a range of different illnesses by adopting a whole foods plant-based diet, and especially a whole foods plant-based raw diet. Can you explain to us nutritionally what makes the raw diet superior to cooked food, and what it is about raw foods that have the capacity to cure so many different health ailments? I guess to start, perhaps you can also define for us exactly what raw food is, just for those of our listeners who may be very new to this term.
Yes, okay. So myself, I consume a raw vegan diet. So that is fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds, which sounds boring, but it is absolutely not. We create delicious dishes out of these things, such as you have experienced.
Oh, yes. So many amazing things. Those brownies last week were amazing. And as you said, the brownies taste just like you can't tell that they're not regular brownies.
No, you know? And these are brownies that you can choose to eat for breakfast.
I know. I'm taking that 30-day challenge of eating one or two a day, as you said. And
great.
I'm excited about that. So, and then raw food, of course, is not heated above a certain temperature, if you can maybe talk about that a bit.
Yeah, so and when we heat the food above 118 degrees, that's when the nutrition starts to degrade. So we lose 50% of the protein off the bat. We lose up to 70 to 90% of all of the vitamins and minerals. So this is the big secret. I mean, I was eating, gone from being a carnivore to eating fish to being vegetarian to being vegan and still was experiencing all of these health ailments. I thought, what is going on? I'm vegetarian. How can I be unhealthy? But it's true, and taking 26 different supplements a day. Well, I needed to supplement because of all of the nutrition I was cooking out of my food, right?
Right.
So that was interesting. So this is the reason that the food is so nutrient dense and it's able to nourish our bodies, obviously, and that creates a healing environment. And when we give our body proper nutrition, it is able to heal itself.
Yeah, it's totally true. There's that quote, can't remember who it's by, "May food be thy medicine." Is that Aristotle or someone like that?
Hippocrates, right?
Someone from way, way, way back there. And it's been known all these thousands of years. And yet humanity, well, at least North America, still hasn't learned about that. Can you give us maybe some more examples of different illnesses and ailments that raw food has been known to cure and perhaps that you've seen been done as well?
Absolutely. Now very dear friend of mine and teacher, Claudia, she has a restaurant out in Toronto. She has 7 tumors on her thyroid and they are gone. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So as far as cancer, I've worked with thousands of people over the last 4 years, and diabetes would be number one, arthritis, these kinds of conditions, asthma, allergies, big food allergies, mm-hmm. and environmental allergies. So this is something that's coming to the forefront as we approach summer. So sometimes the outside looks like an amazing place to be, but if you have allergies, it's the last place that you would like to experience, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So we're able to incorporate more foods that are rich in antihistamines, like onions, and people have relief from these symptoms. These are just health expressions, right, coming from the inside and manifesting on the outside based on what's going on. So we can have different health expressions based on what we're putting in our body.
So aside from being able to cure and prevent so many types of health problems, I've heard of other benefits of the raw lifestyle that I'm wondering if you could touch upon. The main one definitely is that people say they just have so much energy and vitality in life when they just eat raw food. And I know I definitely see that in yourself, and you're talking about how you're never tired, you always have energy. Oh, maybe I'm tired at 3:30 in the morning, but then I only sleep for 3 hours and wonder, how can this be? I've also heard of one person who says he can stay out in the sun now for 8 hours at once and not even get sunburned. And then you were speaking about someone you know whose gray hair turned black again. So what's all this about?
So here's the thing. With raw food, it's rich in antioxidants. So we know that antioxidants will neutralize any free radicals, and those are responsible for us degenerating, right, or aging. But when we eat foods that are rich in antioxidants or that stimulate the release of human growth hormone, we're not just slowing the signs of aging or stopping them. Rather, we are reversing them. So things like referring to the sun. So we have SPF going on from the inside out. So foods that are high in lycopene, like tomatoes, and right now it's summertime, we're thinking about foods like watermelon and local apricots, right? These are great. These are high in lycopene, and that acts as a natural SPF for us.
Wow, I always wondered about that. It kind of is magic, but it's just nutrition and science. That's amazing.
They also found, so this all the research for that was done at the University of Manchester, if you're interested, and it increases our collagen levels as well. So it's really preserving our skin structure. So you look good from the inside out and the outside in.
Well, yeah? that's great to hear. You know, I just heard this as an anecdote, and there's actually justification behind it that makes sense here. Also, you know, eating a plant-based whole foods diet, it's a compassionate lifestyle. We're not eating animals. Do you think that a lifestyle of just eating fresh plants and staying away from the flesh imbues a psychological transition in people to that of happiness and compassion? Is that why you're so joyful?
It is absolutely true. I mean, I grew up in Alberta, and it was the furthest thing from the lifestyle that I'm leading now, mm-hmm. and I'm really happy to be here. And I can say that when we consume this diet, it is the most compassionate, and we have compassion for ourselves when we are, you know, mm-hmm. loving ourselves by eating this way. And the way that we interact with other creatures, be them our four-legged friends or be them each other, is completely different.
Yeah.
So you'll meet people that are following a, you know, vegan or vegetarian lifestyle, and you'll know. You can sense this vibration. There's a different level of vibration. I've had some experiences swimming in Ambleside where, you know, the seals will come and swim with me, or the geese will form a semicircle around it. This is not something that has ever happened before. You know,
that is amazing. I think there's definitely something to that, for sure. You know, animals have these amazing senses that we as humans don't have. That definitely means something, for sure. That's awesome. So what do people eat on a raw diet? Is it just salads and fruits? Well, I know it's not, but I know that raw desserts actually are some of the best desserts I've ever had, and dehydrated kale chips are to die for. Can you tell us about some of the varieties of different foods that a person going raw or wanting to incorporate more raw foods in their diet can expect to partake and indulge in?
They can expect to indulge in anything that they have been indulging in their sad diet, the standard American diet, which leads us to feel a little sad and our bodies mm-hmm. to be sad, that's why we say it. We can recreate those raw and make them as good, if not better, than their cooked food favorites. So things like pizza and enchiladas and lasagna, coconut cream pie, brownies, mm-hmm. pasta, the list goes on and on. Oh, and of course, we have 15 different flavors of ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, raw ice cream is amazing. It tastes just like normal ice cream. And and coconut cream pie, the raw version, is the best coconut cream pie I've ever had, because it's being made from the fresh coconut, you know. And
yeah.
it's just, oh, it's so amazing. It's so, so delicious. And I know that juicing is also a big part of the raw diet. What kinds of benefits can people get just from juicing their fruits and vegetables?
So juicing provides an instant infusion of all of the vitamins and minerals. So greens will be foods that are rich in the minerals, and then the vitamins and antioxidants are going to come from the fruits. So we put that into our body, and it does not requires a very minimal digestive stress on the body. And that's where the energy comes from, is that all of the raw foods are very quick energy. Our body comes into the body, the food comes into the body, our body takes what it needs, and then it leaves. That's it. So it's really fast. Whereas with a standard American diet or cooked food diet, the food's moving really slowly through
and
the body.
And it'll stay in there for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, right? Like some of it. If people do their cleanses. As you were saying, you know, your illnesses from, you said your bad knee illness from when you were in high school, that was coming out when you're detoxing, and that, all that stays within you, but not only just in your body there, but within your colon, like all that yucky meat and whatever stuff that's been stuck inside there, it's in there for all your life. So I know by now, and I think everyone listening is probably convinced of the massive benefits of the raw diet and lifestyle, but to be in favor of it and to actually put it into practice are two very different things. Even I, as a cooked food vegan already, I've always found it a daunting type of lifestyle to practically approach, as it seems like a lot of work, well, until I took your workshop, perhaps. And it always seemed like a lot of work and a lot of organizing for someone who has really very little time to spend on food. I'm wondering what kind of advice you can give to the average busy typical person in our society who wants to better their health and their life and help the animals as well by moving towards a whole food, plant-based, raw lifestyle. How should one get started, for example?
So we send out a newsletter once a month with a great recipe. The first thing that you're going to do is change your breakfast, right? Because that is going to have the most impact on our lives. So we'll introduce what's called an energy elixir. And these are delicious. And this is a green drink. Yes, it is absolutely delicious. Everyone from, you know, age 9 to 92, which is the range we teach, they love the energy elixir. For the little ones, you'll call it Martian juice. They like that, right, because it's green. And what this is going to do is provide, obviously, energy. It's called the energy elixir. And all of the minerals that you need for the day, all the greens that you need for the day, and even though that quantity has been met, that's what you're going to want more of throughout the day. It's like this pressure's off, so you want to eat more greens, right? And that will change our lives. How does it do that is because our body is becoming alkaline versus being acidic. So acidic is where diseases can live. An alkaline body is free of disease. So we think about lactic acid building in our muscles and how they're like achy and sore, right? So it's the opposite. It's relaxed feeling and feeling energized and peaceful. So that's important. The second thing will be to switch up the desserts and bring in some raw desserts, right? So if you're eating typical brownies out of a package or out of a pan, these are ways we're going to bake them in the fridge or the freezer for just 5 minutes. And so this has been our...
And they're healthy brownies. they're faster to make than normal brownies. I'm just going to have those on hand all the time because, you know, sometimes you want your chocolate, right? But and chocolate can be healthy for you if it's not a Mars bar. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So can you talk about important kitchen tools to have for the raw lifestyle? Every time I hear people talking about going raw, they're always singing the praises of the $500 Vitamix, for example, and the Excalibur dehydrator for the amazing kale chips and crackers that they can make. What kitchen tools are must-haves and nice-to-haves, and what are they used for?
Sure, thank you. So when you begin, it's important to have a blender that is a high-powered blender. I started out with the Oster blender, and it was okay. I thought it was great. I didn't know any difference. And then I tasted a smoothie that came from the Vitamix and said,
that's what everyone says, Once you go there, you won't go back, right?
Exactly. And then I started to research, well, you know, what are the other benefits? And it really does impact our health. And so if we're doing this for health reasons, why not, you know, put our best foot forward? So what that does is breaks open the cell wall of any of the greens we put in, and that's where the liquid sunshine is, and, you know, the most amount of chlorophyll and the vitamins and the minerals are in this tight cellulose wall. So breaking that open is important to get the most nutrition that we can. So I thought, okay, well, it's worth the investment. And there were some things that I could get rid of from my kitchen, like the rice cooker. I don't need that anymore. Mm-hmm. Or the grill or the barbecue.
You could sell those off, actually, and buy your Vitamix with it.
That's part of our plan. It's called the Craigslist plan, right?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
So that's the solution for sure. And then the dehydrator, sure, as you start to grow, you may buy a less expensive dehydrator and say, I'm going to do the 30-day challenge and see how I go with this. If I use it every day or, you know, most days, then I will invest in an Excalibur dehydrator, right? And sell your microwave, please.
Definitely. And I think once you've made kale chips, you won't go back. And it's so easy to make as well. When I get my dehydrator, I'm just going to be having those dehydrating all the time, I think. So speaking of these $500 Vitamixes and just all the different and perhaps special ingredients that making some of the common raw dishes often entails, would you say that following a raw diet must be prohibitively expensive, or is it also accessible to those who don't have money to spend on fancy ingredients and gadgets?
You know, it is less expensive, usually 30% less expensive than whatever people are doing right now. So that's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
Wow. Because we're shopping on the perimeter of the supermarket. So we're only buying fresh ingredients. And right now we're going to go to the farmer's market, right, and have some great deals and actually get to know where our food's coming from and who's growing it for us, right? So that's beneficial. The other thing is supplements, right? I save $400 a month because I don't need to take supplements anymore. So when we look at it as a whole picture, where are we spending our money on our health and what we're putting into our bodies? It's definitely decreasing.
Well, I wanted to mention that as well as medical costs, right? Uh-huh. Especially if you're in the United States and you don't have health care. But even if you're in Canada and you're paying for all these different drugs and supplements, really look at the big picture. And something that has always stuck with me that a raw foodist said a long time ago to me that I heard was someone asked her that question about the money, and she said, well, I don't have a discount body, right? So if I'm going to spend money, it's going to be on my health, it's going to be on my food. And that's where I'm coming from too as well, is, you know, spend money on your health and enjoyable food rather than being sick and your medical costs.
That's it. Yeah. And people say often, oh, I feel fine eating cooked food. And I say, okay, Well, I feel fantastic.
You know, and do you want to feel fine difference. Or fantastic?
Yeah. And they thought, and a lot of these people would not settle for second best in any other area in their life, or for their children, or for their pets. They're feeding their pets raw food, but not themselves. And I think, oh, this is really curious. You know, what is the reason you're doing this? And we're all doing the best we can with what we know, and we're all evolving. And I feel so strongly that raw food is definitely going to be common.
It's getting there, you know. Once celebrities go into it, which they have been lately, you know, it's something that people really take notice of because then it's in the media. So, and the Raw Foundation offers an array of introductory and certification classes and live events focused on teaching about raw foods. Can you tell us about what these different classes entail, please?
Okay, sure. So the first class that you want to start with is called 5 Ingredients of 5 Minutes. It's the intro to raw,
It
is fabulous. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you came.
It is fabulous.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yeah. So it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, desserts, how to get started with raw, how to transition and change a recipe from an Italian dish to a Thai dish to a Chinese dish. So you have a huge repertoire and enough ideas for at least 30 days of not eating the same thing. So that is a really impactful class, loaded with nutrition information, because we're not just a culinary school. We're big into nutrition, so you'll know something about each ingredient that you're enjoying putting into your body. So that's a great place to start. After that, you can go into some different classes. We have gourmet dessert classes. We're doing a series of ice cream, gelato, and frozen desserts. So June, July, and August, we're doing chef certifications. If you love raw food and feel like you're so passionate and you would like to carry the torch and share, that's also my purpose here, is to seed and inspire and empower people to go and continue sharing the message, because it's really important that that people receive this information, so as a whole population we're able to heal and move forward. Yeah.
So if people want to check out what the Raw Foundation Culinary Arts and Nutrition Institute does and what you have to offer there, what should they do to get more info and to get in contact with you at the school?
Thank you. So you can visit our website. It's www.rawfoundation.ca. And we're on Facebook at Raw Foundation. Also can give us a call at 778-839-8424. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Janice, to talk to us about raw vegan nutrition, the raw lifestyle, and the Raw Foundation. For more information on the work that Janice does at the Raw Foundation Culinary Arts Nutrition Institute, please do visit rawfoundation.ca and check them out on Facebook as well. Thanks so much, Janice.
Thank you so much, Allison. Create a fabulous day.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's show. From fur and feathers to food, I think we covered a lot today, and I'm definitely feeling inspired by Janice's infectious energy. I need to get healthy. Tune in next week to Animal Voices, where we will have some surprises for you. Don't miss that one. Keep in touch with us on Facebook. We're Animal Voices Vancouver, or on Twitter, Animal Voices YVR. That's a good way to get updates about what's coming up, and so you don't forget about our show, and to listen to past shows and find links to important issues or our guests, you can check out our website, animalvoices.org. Find our contact information there. We welcome your feedback and suggestions for future shows. And yeah, just want to say thank you, dear listeners, for spending time with us today. Thanks, Tara, for coming and sitting with us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to Allison for producing another wonderful show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I think you have a song for us, do you?
Yes, this song is an awesome song that I found this week on the internet. It's called I Don't Eat Animals by Melanie Sapka. So please enjoy and remember to be kind to the animals.
I was just thinking about the way it's supposed to be. I'll eat the plants and the fruit from the trees, and I'll live on vegetables, and I'll grow on seeds. But I don't need animals, and they don't need me. Oh no, I don't need animals, 'cause I love them. Sugar makes you rot. Oh, why?
Hi there, in just 1 minute we'll be right back with Radio EcoShock. Hang in, this is CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Welcome to Earthbeat and Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. In this show, you will learn how to slash your carbon emissions while gaining energy independence, hearing from people who do it now. As climate, peak oil, and the economy crash into a perfect storm, get ready to keep going. Get off fossil fuels and get off the grid.
This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Do you dream of getting out of corporate control and away from polluted food and city smog? I'm Alex Smith. Let's travel that path with Cam Mather. About 14 years ago, Cam and his family of four left a city in Canada, heading back to the land, to Homestead. But they don't live in a dark teepee or a shed. The Mathers are working out super low-carbon lifestyles with all the conveniences of home. Cam Mather, it's good to have you here on Radio EcoShock and for Earthbeat.
Great to be here, Alex.
How did you get from the dream to actually buying your property?
It took about 5 years. We had a number of points on our list that we were looking for. You know, hope to have the land so it could be certified organic. We hope to have some water on the land. And, you know, 14 or 15 years ago, it was tough